The reading this morning is from John chapter 4, verses 4 to 26. Now he, Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband," to her. "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we most worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you all will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and the truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I am the one speaking to you. I am he." Amen. May God bless this reading.
There's so much in that passage that we could tease out. We could have a whole series based just on John chapter 4. So this morning we're just going to touch on some aspects of this passage that God has challenged me about. If we had been reading through John's Gospel in a series, we would have just left chapter 3. That's logical, isn't it? Just before chapter 4. And in John chapter 3, Jesus encountered a man called Nicodemus, a religious teacher. And in John chapter 3, we discover that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And he had a question for Jesus. So many people had questions for Jesus, didn't they? Now, the idea of two men chatting, even at night in the dark, wouldn't have raised an eyebrow at all. It was quite acceptable for men to chat together in public. The culture of the day permitted single-sex conversation. But single men weren't permitted to converse with women in public. So unlike today, I'm sure many men would have loved it to remain as it was. But that's not how it was. Well, that's not how it is. Now, the women, they often chatted to one another. And they often had a meeting place, which was the well. I did think at one point maybe we should have called it the gossip shop. But that's not fair, is it? Because women don't gossip any more than men. And neither sex should really gossip. But that sharing news, that how are you, that would have taken place at the well. The well was a meeting place as well as a practical place where you gathered water for the day. Jacob's well that we heard of in this passage, it was fed by an underground stream. So it wasn't stagnant water, it was good water. It's reckoned it was probably about 40 metres deep, and there would have been a shallow wall around the well, and there would have been a stone that went across the top. That's where the women met. That was their water supply. And it was called Jacob's Well. You can find out about it in Genesis chapter 29. It was the well at which Jacob met Rachel. And that's really important, because that reminds us that Jews and Samaritans had the same origin. Samaria had been in what was known as the Kingdom of Israel at the time when the Hebrew community was divided into a north and a south kingdom. Samaria was in the northern territory. It was a kingdom that had been conquered by the Assyrians, and some Assyrian religious practices had crept in. The Samaritans read the Pentateuch. They read the first five books of the Old Testament, as we would call it. For them, it was the Hebrew Scriptures. So they accepted the books from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But they rejected the writings of the prophets and the Psalms and Proverbs and the historical books of Samuel, Kings and Chronicles. And they were rejected because of their focus on King David and Jerusalem, which was in the southern kingdom. So these two communities, the Jews and the Samaritans, were originally the same people, but over time a great divide had arisen. And the two nations were enemies. In 128 BC, the Jews invaded Samaria, attacked Samaria, and burned down the Samaritan temple, which was on Mount Gerizim. So there's a shared tradition in part, and there's also that great divide and animosity. And here is Jesus in what we might call enemy territory. Let's focus for a moment on the woman. In the heat of the day, she was going to the well to collect water. And there was a man. She wouldn't have expected him to speak at all. Looking at him, she identified him as a Jew. So he wouldn't speak to her because he was a man, and he definitely wouldn't speak to her because he was Jewish and she was Samaritan. But Jesus spoke. And that's important for us, because Jesus bridged divides. Jesus broke with conventions in society. We know that, we see it time and again. But he did it on this occasion very simply, with a question. Will you give me a drink? A simple yes or no would have sufficed, wouldn't it? The woman most likely would have said no. She didn't. She asked Jesus a question. How can you ask me for a drink? So much divides us. And there began a theological conversation, a conversation about God. It began with something very practical. Will you give me a drink? And it progressed into something intense. Jesus was breaking down another barrier when he spoke with this woman about God, about theology. Because culturally, theological education was for men and for boys. They were the ones who were taught the scriptures. They were the ones who read the scripture in the synagogue, not women. And here was Jesus breaking down this third barrier by teaching a woman about God. And he used metaphors that we know, that metaphor about living water. And of course, this poor woman at the beginning could only see what was practical. Where is this water you're talking about? Where is this living water? Where is this stream? We're in a dry, arid region. I haven't seen it. I can't see it. Can you take me to it? That's effectively what she's saying. And from that point, we get Jesus eventually telling her that he is the Messiah. Identifying who he is to this foreign woman. That's some conversation, isn't it? I think sometimes we are so familiar with biblical passages, Jesus' behaviour, that we miss out on how shocking Jesus' behaviour was. We sit comfortably with this story. How wonderful that this lady came to know Jesus. And that sense of shock that the hearers of John's gospel would have had is lost on us. Jesus spoke to the woman about living water that he could give her. Jesus could see need in this woman. Oh, she had a physical need for water, sure enough. Everybody does. But she had an even deeper spiritual and emotional need. How many of us have deep emotional and spiritual needs, although we're well fed and well watered? Jesus was engaging with a woman who had carried water home in 6 relationships. 5 marriages, and the man she was living with was not her husband. What kind of woman was she? What had she experienced in life? There's a lot of pain and a lot of mess in her story, isn't there? We don't know the details of her life. And people have surmised, people have said all sorts of things about her. The truth is, we don't know. But Jesus knew she was a needy woman. A woman who must have been hurt and disappointed. A woman who longed for relationship. A woman who would not have been respected in her community. That's why she was there in the heat of the day, wasn't it? She didn't engage with the other women, maybe because they wanted no part of her. Jesus made time for her. He listened. He listened to her questions. And they were many. Sir, you've nothing to drink with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? What about worship? What about the difference between us? She asked. And Jesus said, it's not whether you worship in Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim that matter. What matters is that you worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what's key. True worshippers come from every nation, every background, every culture, every economic level, every class, every creed, every colour, every ethnicity, every educational ability, every shape, every size. True worshippers are not bound by the barriers that the world puts upon us. We worship in spirit and truth. We worship the one true God. And as Jesus revealed to this woman, we worship through the Messiah, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. And that living water, the Holy Spirit, who refreshes, who renews, who invigorates, who challenges, who inspires. If we let him. Now we know that, don't we? Or if you've been coming to church regularly for a number of years, or even just a few, you, I think, will have gleaned that by now. But do we live it out? And that's the question, isn't it? When we come to a passage like this that is familiar to us, and then we hear all these challenges, are we listening to what God might be saying to us this morning? Do we believe that it doesn't matter who you are or what you look like or where you come from, that you can worship through Jesus Christ? And how willing are we to mix with our brothers and sisters who don't look like us? Who maybe don't think exactly the same way as we do. That's a huge challenge for the church today. We're comfortable with the people we know, the people we love. But we're being challenged to worship with others. And we might not agree about everything. But if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and we are worshipping in spirit and truth, then we can be as one. And interestingly, that's not written before me. That's what God has just laid on my heart. The Samaritan woman had gone out of her way to avoid the people she lived with because of the way they treated her, maybe. Because of how she felt about herself, very possibly. But having met with Jesus and discovering that he knew about her, he loved her, he valued her, he gave her a sense of worth, he shared the truth about himself with her, she went off to meet the very people she had been avoiding to say, come and meet the man who has told me everything about myself. He hadn't. He'd only told her that she'd had 5 husbands. But if he knew that, he knew everything about her. Her needs, her wants, her desires, her longings, and And he promised her a gift. Life-giving water, the Holy Spirit. If she just believed in Jesus, her Messiah. She was offered a fresh start. She was offered a new perspective. Which Jesus offers to everyone. Whoever they are, whatever they've done. Come to the living water. Come to Jesus. Let him wash you clean. Let him fill you. And let him send you out to share the good news. The message hasn't changed. Jesus wants to be at the center of our lives. Jesus said to the woman, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Jesus offered the Samaritan woman a fresh start. He offered her hope, he offered her purpose, and he offered her eternal life. Nowhere does it actually say she became a follower of Jesus. It's not actually articulated in this passage. Yet when we read on to verses 39 to 42 in this chapter, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony." So whatever she said, whatever she shared, inspired others. And to me, that sounds like a woman who'd come to faith and was filled with the Holy Spirit, was filled with the living water, and was able to share the little she knew about Jesus. And others were convicted. And when the Samaritans, that's her community, came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them. Stay in this enemy territory. Because we want to hear what you have to say. We want to learn. And he stayed 2 days. I think there must have been a pretty busy 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now, we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." They knew that living water in their own lives. 2 days. 2 days and all those lives changed. How many years has this congregation been here? No, it's an awful lot longer, isn't it? Why are we not full? That's not pointing a finger at you. I mean, it's true for it, pretty well every congregation I've been in over the last few weeks. So many spaces. Why are we not bursting at the seams? Why are folk not flocking to Jesus? Because we have the same good news to share as this woman. And the need out there is as great today as it was in Samaria all those years ago. So why are people not flocking to Jesus? And that is the challenge, isn't it? Why are they not flocking? Is it because they've turned against Jesus? I'd like to suggest that the answer is, it's because they've never really heard. They've never really been introduced to Jesus. Because we don't talk about him enough. And we don't have the passion of that woman. And that maybe we have become just a little too comfortable in our faith. Just as we're comfortable with the passage of scripture that I read. Because we know it. Now, this is not a dig at the congregation here in Partick Trinity. I hear a lot about what you're doing, and I hear lots of good things. But you get the idea, don't you? Maybe we're really good at aspects of sharing Jesus. We tend to be quite good at sharing with children. So we have our holiday clubs, and that's great. And we have our young people's ministry, and that's great. But what about the adults that we all know? Where's our ministry to them? Where's the ministry in our workplaces, the ministry to our neighbours? The ministry to the people we meet on the street, the shopkeepers. We might be nice people and kind people and people they like. But do we really share Jesus with them? Because Jesus is their deepest need. I wonder if this morning the challenge for all of us is to step out of our safe place and to take a risk to share Jesus with others. Let's be honest, it's sometimes easier to keep our speaking of Jesus within the Christian community. Because there it's safe, isn't it? But they already know. And yes, there is a need to share and build one another up in faith. But what about those who've never heard? Where are they heading? If we really believe Scripture, where are they heading? It's not to be with God in the glory of heaven. It's to be apart from him forever. That should motivate us if we really care about people. And we hold back, don't we? And we don't want to offend somebody. We don't want them to think that we're, I don't know what, arrogant, not of this generation, holy willies. We hold back. That's not what the woman did. She went to the very people she was trying to avoid and said, come and meet this man. It'll change your life. Do we have that passion? Are we maybe selective in who we want to share with in the first place? Well, she'll be okay, but he won't be. Oh, please don't ask me to go there. Prejudices, biases, they're within all of us. But Jesus broke down the conventions. Jesus challenged the prejudices. He challenged the traditions. And we may be too bound by the ones that we have created for ourselves. Jesus met a woman where she was on her territory, and he listened to her. And he answered her questions. And he posed his own. And he moved from what was practical to what was theological. And she journeyed with him. And he showed her that God's love was for everyone. And that the barrier that she had in her heart between Jew and Samaritan was irrelevant. That salvation is not restricted to any one group. Well, that's what I took from the passage. I wonder what this means for you in this coming week. So, where will God arrange encounters for you this week? Who are you going to meet? What's in your diary already? Where are the spaces in your diary where you could just gossip the gospel with someone if asked? Are you meeting the same people week in, week out? Have you ever spoken to them about Jesus? Not church. Church is the easy thing to talk about. Have you spoken to them about Jesus and the difference that he makes in your life? Have you spoken to them about prayer? And do you pray for them? And do you pray for them to come to faith believing that it will happen? Appointment for you this week. For you are in just the right place at the right time to help that person with the question they have. Maybe about God, maybe about Jesus, maybe about faith. Maybe about why their life is so messed up and how change can come about. Who will God put before you this week? Who needs to know his living water? And will we do what's needed? Will we make time to listen to God and to listen to the other person in the conversation? And will we speak about Jesus? Because if those who are already in the church won't do it, who is going to? And how will they hear unless someone speaks to them? The harvest fields are white, but the workers are few. So the workers have to be faithful. Next week, when you come to church, have a chat with your neighbour, with the person you're sitting beside, about how this week God put somebody before you and you were able to share something of Jesus with them. Wouldn't that be exciting? If everybody could do that. Aren't you glad I'm only here for 1 week? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus' example. Jesus who made time for everyone, who listened, who talked. Jesus who had insight into lives, but Jesus who challenged. And thank you that you have challenged each one of us this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your love for everyone. We thank you that you have a heart for those who are sometimes rejected by others. Those on the fringes of society, the broken, the outcast, the hopeless, the helpless. And yet so often it's those very people who are seeking after you most. We thank you that you have entrusted the mission of sharing your gospel and making disciples to us. Forgive us, for we're not very good at it. We like to be nice and kind and loving, but we find it much harder to speak about you and to challenge people. Help us to share the good news in deed and in word, and help us to live out our faith. Help us to listen. To listen to your Spirit's leading, to listen to your voice. And help us listen to others. Forgive us for all those times when we have been too hasty and we've moved on too quickly. When someone had a question they wanted to ask us. We give you thanks for your family. For the Christian family here on earth. And we pray that you'd help us as we struggle with our tensions and our disagreements. Help us to remember there is only one church, the Bride of Christ, being prepared for Jesus' return. We pray that you would reignite and reinvigorate your people, that your Holy Spirit would descend upon all believers. And that we would be effective missionaries. And I pray for the congregation here in Partick that you would give them clear vision and passion for the gospel, that they would be led wisely and well, and that they would continue to be a prayerful, listening people, keen to introduce others to Jesus. Almighty God, may you be glorified in this place. And may we see the gospel message bear fruit to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.